You know, I'm the kind of guy, I guess I said, I'm real proud of my sport. That's the first thing I want to say. For 16 years, probably kept me out of jail when I was a kid. And the WWF has done more for me than anything in the world. But I've made a decision. I'm in the peak. Of course I'm in the peak of my career. But I'm going to Hollywood and I'm going out, man. I'm going to give it 110%. Anytime I ever fought, I gave 110%. And sometimes you guys chucking eggs at me. And sometimes you weren't. Sometimes you're chucking roses. Didn't matter to me. I give 110% then, and I give 110% at anything I do. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to give it a try. And I'm kind of a gutsy guy.
We're proud of you, Roddy.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
And I know who you are because your name's written on the back of the chair, and I'm assuming that that's there so you don't get lost.
If the questions are too hard for you, I will try to bring them down a little so you can understand. I understand big body, little tiny weenie brain.
I ain't never had no friends in my whole life. I'm like a friend to the rest, but nobody likes me, and I don't care. That's the problem you face. You know, Mr. T, you come out with this kill song trying to make fun of me, and never once in my life have I painted myself black and shaved my head trying to look like you.
I'm talking to Cyndi Lauper. I'm going over there. Hello, darling. No, I won't have a date with you. I'm sorry you have beer on your breath. And she's going to...
She's a woman. She's a woman in the ring.
But she's a woman. I'll tell you something. If you slap me, I'll knock you off. What is the future of for rock and roll and the wrestling connection? First of all, it's garbage. It don't belong in the same category. I don't want these skinny little geeks around me, man. I'm a man. I'm a true man. What is the future of it? The future of professional wrestling is me. The future of rock and roll is down the toilet. I hate all of you, and the best part about it is I get to pay you all back in one single night. I don't even have to meet you one-on-one.
Let's put it this way. Let's take a look at you. Here you are. You shaved your head on both sides. These eyes are orange. What you're doing is just supporting all these wonderful children. Now, how can they look up to you with you looking like that? Or with long hair? The children of America today must be sick to look at someone.
We don't want to talk to you guys any trouble because we know how intelligent you are.
You're a very ugly person. Yes, you're really a very stupid. I am very handsome. You really are a very stupid person, huh? You know, you couldn't get a date with a $100 bill on your forehead.
You do not throw rocks at a man who's got a machine gun.
With a heavy heart, we welcome you to yet another edition of the Wrestling Outsiders podcast. I am your host, Emerson Whitner. I am joined on the other end of the line by my co-host and my brother, Brian Whitner. Brian, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, I have a heavy heart too, dear brother of mine, but the show must go on, and the show it will.
Yep, and unfortunately, this is the second time in 6 weeks that we've been doing a tribute show. First one, obviously, to Dusty Rhodes and now to Roddy. And, you know, Roddy had some problems the past few weeks with his podcast with Steve Austin. Not wanting to open up that stuff, but he's been in the news the last few weeks, and then suddenly this happened. It was a shock, to say the least.
Yes, but the great thing is, though, just like Dusty, he didn't die of something stupid like a drug overdose or, you know, a heart attack, really, steroids. He just died of natural causes, so that's the one good thing I came out of. It was a heart attack, but what's a steroid-caused heart attack or, like, a drug overdose heart attack or something like that? You know what I mean?
Yep. Actually, you know, to keep things in perspective here, he actually, in 2003, in an interview with Real Sports, he predicted that he was not going to live to be 65.
How old was he? 62, wasn't he?
61. Yeah. And, you know, Roddy, you know, I'll just say here, the sports entertainment world lost one of its best yesterday. Rowdy Roddy Piper is the true definition of a sports entertainer. Did he have great matches? Sure, he had a few. But everyone will always remember his magnetic and flamboyant personality. One of the best talkers of all time, and perhaps there was no better person to be that top heel on the other side of the ring of Hulk Hogan in the build to WrestleMania 1.
One of the greatest villains, if not the greatest villain of all time. Definitely of the 80s, early to mid.
Now, Hogan and Piper will always argue over who drew the first WrestleMania. And the argument was, did people pay to see Hogan, or did they pay to see Hogan kick Roddy Piper's ass? Either way, no matter which side you fall on, the entire year build of Piper as a heel before that first WrestleMania was nothing short of phenomenal, and something that, because of how the wrestling business has changed, probably can't be repeated today.
No. Wrestling's changed so much, it won't be the same.
He is, of course, a former WWE Intercontinental Champion. He was a three-time Mid-Atlantic Heavyweight Champion. He was Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Champion with Big John Studd, a two-time Mid-Atlantic TV Champion, a three-time United States Champion, most recently in 1999, and then when he returned to WWE, he was voted in to win the World Tag Team titles with Ric Flair in 2006 at a Cyber Sunday show. He was a cancer survivor, the father of four children, a grandfather to one, married to the same woman his entire adult life.
As old as Piper, how many wrestlers can say that? That they've been married to the same person their entire adult life?
Yeah.
Not many.
Not too many, no.
The one that wasn't the wrestling business at all.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
What was that?
I said, correct me if I'm wrong, especially one that hasn't been, that was never in the wrestling business.
Yeah, it's a tough business to be married in, but somehow they got away with it. Somehow they pulled it off. He is a member of the WWE Hall of Fame, class of 2005, the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame, class of 2007, the inaugural class of the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. The famous story, of course, was his first match ever against Larry Hennig, where the bell rang. Larry Hennig dropped him on his head and pinned him in 10 seconds. They got paid $25 to do that. He was an actor in a plethora of C-level movies, the most famous being They Live and Hell Comes to Frogtown. He also had appearances in TV shows such as Walker, Texas Ranger, The Love Boat, The Outer Limits, Cold Case, Storage Wars. He was a recurring character on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and he was the host of Season 2 of World of Hurt. Ironically, you know, Brian, back in 1984, Vince hired him to be a manager because he thought he was too small to be a serious wrestler.
Well, is Vince wrong again?
Yes, he was. Now, UFC 190 begins at 10 o'clock. Ronda Rousey defending the UFC women's bantamweight title against Beth Correa. Ronda Rousey, of course, using the nickname Rowdy after Roddy Piper, and she's dedicating her fight tonight to Roddy Piper.
So pretty much Rousey wins, I'm going to say, in two rounds.
You're expecting too much of her to last two – Beth Correa to last two rounds.
Yeah, that is too much, I know. But, yeah, I pity the girl she is facing tonight because she's going to get
her last two
like
fights,
a governor meal.
Her last two fights went a combined 24 seconds, Brian. You can't – Also, Piper appeared in mostly wrestling at these shows at WrestleManias 1, 2, 3, 6, 8, 10, 11, 12, 21, and he wrestled at WrestleMania 25 against Chris Jericho. He appeared at Starrcade, well, he wrestled at Starrcades 83 and 96. He appeared at the end of Starrcade 99 when Vince Russo did the Montreal Screwjob and had Roddy Piper playing Earl Hebner. And he was also in TNA a couple times, last refereeing a match between Jeff Hardy and Scott Hall at Final Resolution 2005. So Roddy, even after the territory days ended, he got all over the place. And honestly, after your Hogan's and Savage's and Andre's, he's probably in that – he is in that next tier of most notable, most remembered, most known wrestlers.
Yes. Yeah. That's true. I agree with you on that one.
So, Brian, you know, you want to share some memories of Roddy, some of your favorite career moments. And by the way, I know no one ever calls into this show, but if you're listening and you do want to call in, 718-766-4886. Though I have no idea how long we're going to be here, but, you know, if you're still listening to the sounds of my voice, give us a call.
Yeah, or even mine, because, you know, I occasionally do speak once in a while.
Ryan talks when I finally shut up.
Yes, which is very rare, but, you know, I do have my excellent opinion needed segment that can be heard every regular episode of the Wrestling Outsiders podcast.
That's
not one of those regular episodes, so, yeah.
However, Brian, speak.
Piper, where should I begin? This classic WrestleMania main event, the first one with Cowboy Bob and Paul Orndorff. WrestleMania 2 with him and Mr. T in a boxer versus wrestling match. It was a boxing match, I guess, per se. But Piper made it into a wrestling match. His quote-unquote retirement match at WrestleMania 3 versus Adrian Adonis. Where else? I mean, my all-time classic Piper memory was the 92 Rumble with Bobby the Brain Heenan. You know, I think we've played that a plethora of times on this podcast. Piper comes out, beats everyone up. Heenan trades with him, and then he goes after Flair, and instantly Heenan turns on him. So that's my favorite Piper moment.
You no good freak. You skirt-wearing freak. It's not a kilt. It's a skirt.
Yes, that was by far my favorite. And like the late 90s Piper, I wasn't really a huge fan of. I mean, WCW just brought him in, I think, for the ratings to see what they can do. So I wasn't a huge fan of that version of Piper. So, I mean, all the classic Piper's pit segments. The last one with Rusev and Lana. Jimmy Snuka again, tractor with heads of coconuts. The famous Andre Hogan one. There's so many memories of Piper. It's unbelievable. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think of, you know, one of my favorite Roddy Piper matches would actually be the collar match with Greg Valentine from Starrcade 83.
Yep.
And I remember when we first saw that, you know, I was probably 8 or 9 years old, so this is 92, 93-ish. And it was so different from everything that was on wrestling then. I just remember watching that match a lot, and just like, it was so brutal and so violent, so bloody, and just an amazing sight, you know. And I just always remember that match. And allegedly, you know, Piper lost hearing in his ear from those two hitting each other nonstop during it. And, you know, then you get, you know, one of the things that he's famous for is that he refused to do a job from 1985 to 1992. He did not lay down one time and let his shoulders be pinned, which, you know, was part of the reason why Bad News Brown hated him, because Bad News Brown was the full-time heel while Piper was the sometimes there, sometimes not babyface, and Piper refused to lose to him. And actually, you know, Piper, he got the Intercontinental title only because Vince told him he'd only get it if he agreed to have his shoulders put down by Bret Hart.
Yeah.
And that was the story of that. And, you know, the way he said, you know, it was true that, you know, they wanted him first just to lose to Hogan and whatever in their first big match, but he realized if he does that, he's just the heel of the month, and they're just going to move on to the next person. So he got himself as hot as hell and realized he was irreplaceable. Like, Orndorff did the job at WrestleMania because Piper wasn't going to, and the heels weren't going to win. So Orndorff got to complain and moan because, well, he's the one that had to lose.
Poor Mr. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do, though.
Yep.
Especially business.
And it also he took part in a famous angle when he was a color commentator with Gordon Solie. Don Morocco was not beating on Gordon, but he was you know, telling off Gordon, getting in Gordon's face, et cetera, et cetera, and then Piper turned babyface by kicking the crap out of him.
Attaboy, Piper.
Yeah.
It's Gordon frickin' Solie. Come on now. Be nice to the former guy.
He also put out a book in 2002. I remember because he bought that for me for Christmas that year. In the Pit with Piper. And I'll never forget it just because, as stupid as this sounds, that was the book that made me lose respect for wrestling books, because Piper kept going on and on that he would never go back to WWE and ask Vince McMahon for a paycheck. He'd never be put in a situation where he'd have to take something as degrading as a stink face. And he was so passionate about his convictions. And not even 3 months later, there he is at WrestleMania, back in the ring with Hogan and Vince, and a month later he's in a feud with Rikishi. And I'm just like, all right then.
Go figure.
He did go onto a TNA pay-per-view once and accused Vince Russo of killing Owen Hart, which,
God.
Yeah. Talking about your uncomfortable moments.
Yeah.
And
myself.
Yeah. He really was, you know, just one of the most memorable people ever. He had a real-life feud with Mr. T, and that's part of what made it even better because, you know, him and T were constantly at each other's throats, and they really did hate each other. And
what?
Just Piper hated T because he was a celebrity coming in to get the spotlight. And, you know, T hated him because of all the crap Piper was saying about him.
I thought you were going to say that Piper didn't love his mama.
No. And actually, the WrestleMania 2 boxing match, they were so afraid that Piper was going to expose Mr. T that they made Piper make a fist with his hand before they taped it up and put it in the gloves. So, And so, like, especially when you look at it and he takes that bump through the ropes at one point, like, he was unable to grab anything to stop himself from flying out.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Piper's Pit, his first ever segment was with Frankie Williams, where he famously asked him, you know, where are you from? And Frankie's like, I'm from Columbus, Ohio. And Piper's like, oh, you are from Columbus, Ohio. I've never lost in Columbus, Ohio. Have you ever lost in Columbus, Ohio? And he's like, yeah, I've lost a few times. And Piper's was so wonderful. He's like, the whole it would be 2 minutes long. Like, that was, like, part of the beauty of it was, like, they almost never went more than 2 minutes. And he'd spend 90 seconds of it, you know, talking all this shit about the other person. And while they're getting pissed off, he's like, oh, I'm just here to talk. You're here to fight me, blah, 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 blah. And so And then, of course, you know, he'd then beat the crap out of them. One of my favorite Piper's Pits was one of the first ones with Babyface Andre. And, you know, of course, he's going off to on Andre. In fact, as part of that tribute song I made at the beginning where he said to Andre, you know, if these questions are too hard for you, tell me and I'll slow them down. Big body, itty-bitty brain. And Andre's just smiling at him like, I'm going to kick your ass, you skinny white boy. And then Andre finally gets sick of it, grabs him by his shirt and lifts him up, and he shakes Piper and blah, 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 and then walks off. And Piper, you know, if this was this day, Piper would have just left and made it look like a wimp. In 1984, Piper then grabs the mic. And even though we all just saw him cower from Andre, he still grabs the mic and screams, you do not throw rocks at a man with a machine gun. And, you know, even though anyone watching was like, you're a freaking nut. You can't fight Andre the Giant. You know, he play it off like he was a wimp, Ben. Couldn't beat Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
Of course, he went to WCW in 1996. Matches, of course, weren't, you know, very good. Of course, he's wrestling Hogan for the most part. And, you know, helped pop some really good buy rates for the company at the time. And he actually ended up suing WCW towards the end because he was owed like two or three more pay-per-view matches and they weren't using them because they were losing money hand over fist to begin with. And so they didn't want to bring him in to pay him even more. That led to legal action.
Go figure.
Like I said, he did win the U.S. title from Bret Hart just so he could lose it to Scott Hall like a week later. He did a number of jobs in WCW. Not like a whole lot, but, you know, he got pinned by Hogan. And I'm sure, you know, it was the agreement that he'd beat Hogan first before, you know, but still,
yeah.
He laid down for Hogan finally in February of 97. He lost to Kevin Nash, I believe. He lost to Scott Hall. He lost to Bret Hart. Just a lot of, not a lot of jobs, but still he did a number of them over the years. But you know something?
Yeah, it was pretty much, like I said before, WCW performance brought him in for a big payday. That was it.
He moved business, at least at first.
Yeah.
You can argue whether or not he was worth it in 99, but then again, you can argue whether anyone was worth it in 99.
True story.
And his last feud there was with Buff Bagwell, of all people.
Go figure.
Yes. And then Vince Russo made him the referee around the same time he made Jim Duggan the janitor. He went to WWE in 2003, like we mentioned. Teamed up with Sean O'Hare. And, you know, ironically, I think that was the worst thing for Sean O'Hare because who knows? Sean O'Hare may not have gotten over anyway, but it's like Sean O'Hare was so horribly overshadowed by Piper, it wasn't even funny.
Yeah. Well, they did form a decent tag team, though. They almost won the tag title.
Almost. Honestly, I think they would have, except that was the time when the interview he did with Real Sports that was taped like a year before, that's when that came out and he got fired because of it. The one where he talked about all the drug use in wrestling and all the deaths and all that happy horse shit.
Go figure.
Speaking of happy horse shit, I've got a promo of Piper's to play. Let's play it now.
The very controversial host of Piper's Pit, Rowdy Roddy Piper. Mr. Piper, I would stick around, but you're going to have to excuse me. I have to go to the men's room. I'll be right back. Thank you.
Oh, going home? Oh, my goodness, that's fine. Cow Palace. You can go to the men's room in the Cow Palace. That's a wonderful name in San Francisco because the Cow Palace is someplace that I would be proud to call my home. Cow Palace is someplace that I'd be proud to bring my gal. Because obviously, if you live in San Francisco and you are going out with gals, Obviously, they belong in the Cow Palace. I saw one. The only thing she was missing was antlers. She would have been in season, Jack, man. I saw her coming up to me, asking me for a date. I said, man, I'm Hot Rod. Are you kidding me? He said, yeah, but aren't you the one that's going to fight Mr. Wonderful? I said, yeah, I'm going to fight Mr. Blunderful. He says, but aren't you the one that's going to fight him with all them wrestlers around the ring? I says, yeah, that's me. He says, don't you know what he's thinking? Of course. Yeah, yeah, I know what he's thinking. Absolutely nothing, man. When he's in a room alone, he is all alone. You see, you forget, I rode with him. I know what an idiot this guy is. I know his moves. Oh, yes, he's tough. I know he's tough. You think I ain't, man? I've been around. You know that. I've been there before. He's tough enough to go and bench press 500 pounds. Who really cares, man, huh? Your idea here of a wrestling match here, you got 12 wrestlers around the ring. You got dancing midgets and leathers. You got your own. You got everything that you've ever wanted in a match. You know why I signed this? Incidentally, it didn't take me 2 months to sign this match. No, 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 no. It didn't take me 2 months to make up my mind, brother. No, no, no. I said, you want me to fight somebody? I'll fight anybody. Who do you want? Just let me fight him.
Orndorff says, well, I'm going to take my time. Going to take me about 2 months. And I'm gonna go right now and go to the bathroom and think about it. And now I'm back. Right there. It's your idea of Orndorff's father. You see, that's going to happen after you fight me. There's going to be nothing after you except for old and bald and ugly. You ain't going to be no Hot Rod. You're just going to be somebody that can't keep his bladder empty.
Thank you very much, Roddy Roddy Piper. Back in the Bay Area at the Cow Palace Thursday night, October the 10th. Don't you dare.
I want to go to the Cow Palace Thursday night, October 10th, to see that Lumberjack match.
You get right on that, Emerson. I don't know how good of a Lumberjack match it will be, but...
Considering one of the participants have passed away?
Yeah. And Orndorff, I don't think, is really in the best shape to wrestle.
Are you sure?
I don't know.
By the way, that was 1985. I looked up to see when Thursday, October 10th would be. And I thought it was 86, but nope, 85.
Go figure.
When Piper was still heel. What were some of your favorite matches, Brian?
Him and Brett from WrestleMania, that was always a classic one in my eyes. I enjoyed the WrestleMania one, the main event. Him and Orndorff with Hogan and Mr. T. He's a fool. I mean, there's just so many matches that you can go through. I mean, the dog collar match, like you mentioned earlier, that was a high up there. I liked him in the War Games match in 98, the least talked about War Games match, just the crazy nut that he was running down there and doing his thing, just going after everyone.
The worst War Games ever, Brian remembers that one.
Yes. But, yeah, I mean, it was what it was.
And, we'll have to do Starrcade 83 one of these days with... Among other things, the collar match. He came back in 96. The last thing he did before he went to WCW, he did the Hollywood Backlot Brawl with Goldust. And that was interesting. The whole thing, they taped that thing like 2 weeks ahead of time, too. The backlot brawl portion of it, and then they quote-unquote drove to the arena, which looks suspiciously like O.J. Simpson stock footage. Yeah. And then they finished in the ring at the Arrowhead Pond, Piper ripped Goldust clothes off, and, you know, I think that was technically the longest match in WrestleMania history, Brian. I mean, you could say that Bret Hart and Shawn was at 61 minutes, but that match lasted like an hour and a half.
What about the hardcore match in WrestleMania X8?
Well, that was a series of matches. It wasn't. Piper actually also came back for WrestleMania 30, where they did the backstage thing with him, Orndorff, Hogan, and Mr. T. I am pretty sure he was there this year in that group of former Intercontinental Champions doing the Yes with Daniel Bryan. I could be wrong.
I think you're right.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he was in WrestleMania 23 as one of those people dancing. He was the referee of the Bret Hart-Bob Backlund submission match, WrestleMania 11. The referee for the main event of WrestleMania 10 with Bret and Yoko. He really is one of the longest tenured wrestlers just because, you know, he's like always there and always around and just,
yeah.
He was in all these different promotions. I think he even was in ROH for a little bit. Like I said, he did win the World Tag Titles with Ric Flair, but that was like right before he got diagnosed with cancer. They held the belts like I think 8 days, maybe 2 weeks. I'm not sure. And yeah, just a whole bunch of things. Oh yeah, of course he was in the 2008 Royal Rumble.
Yeah, he made a surprise appearance and got eliminated by Kane.
Him and Snuka, and the entire ring stopped to watch them.
Yep, and then Kane came down and eliminated them both.
Yes. Let's see here. Of course, like I said, he competed at WrestleMania 25 in a 3-on-1 handicap match against Jericho with Snuka and Steamboat. He was part of a Raw in November 2009 that started with him challenging Vince McMahon to a street fight, but instead Randy Orton came down to kick his butt, but Kofi Kingston came down and did the dive off the stage onto Orton, which was later forgotten about because, you know, Kofi's main event run got killed. He actually hit Zack Ryder with a coconut at our first WrestleMania, Brian.
That's right.
Yes.
I remember that briefly.
And his last actual WWE match, according to Wikipedia, and I'm sure this is it because I sure as hell couldn't think of a different one, the June 13th, 2011 episode of Raw, for some reason, both him and The Miz put up $5,000, and he won with interference by Alex Riley. I have no memory of that match at all. Do you?
No.
He was, of course, a member of the one and only season of Legends House. that show was horrible, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, it's... Piper, I don't know if he lived the gimmick or he just was really crazy. But... You know,
that's hard to explain. That's hard. You know, like, Hall of Fame ceremonies is usually pretty calm, but at Megan, everyone is. So.
Do you think, like, it's kind of surprising WWE never really tried to use him as a coach. Like, they had him under a Legends contract forever, but, like, they never used him down at NXT to teach these kids how to cut promos. But, I mean... Like, yeah, they had Dusty and they had a few others there to teach promos. But, you know, like, Piper brought something different than Dusty. Like, and something different than an Arn Anderson promo or a Ric Flair promo. Piper, the promos these days all sound exactly the same. Everyone has the same inflections. Everyone speaks the same. Like, you go back to the 1980s and... Roddy Piper, Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Arn Anderson, Dusty Rhodes can all be handed the same exact promo and the same exact thing word for word, and all five of them would have done it in five different ways, and you never would have realized it was the same promo.
No.
So, unfortunately, you know, I'm sure this isn't going to be our last tribute show. Hopefully it's the last one for a while, Brian.
I honestly, these are really depressing. Like, I remember at first, like I said, for like our 1 year show, we should have done like a remembrance show or something like this. And you just said no, it'd be too sad. Like, I agree with you for it. But yeah, these really suck.
See? Told you, tribute shows suck, but, you know.
God damn it.
I guess we're going to start to wrap things up here. Brian, you have anything else you want to say?
No, just the condolences go out to his family. The wrestling world, like I said a couple weeks ago, really lost someone special. And it really sucks, but, I mean, it happens. So, we got to remember him and move on.
Yeah, Ric Flair was actually near me. He was in Fall River at a Top Rope promotion show last night, actually, when the news broke. And, I heard he completely lost it, like, understandably.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So I guess, we're going to be back on Wednesday with, the battle of January 24th, 1988, with Bunkhouse Stampede and with Royal Rumble. And trust me, for those of you who listened to the Wednesday show, that ending was on purpose. We'll talk about it Wednesday. You might have heard a song in the background of my tribute to Piper that I really enjoyed. It was a song I think was made for Roddy Piper, with Roddy Piper in mind. And so with that, we're going to end the show playing that song. We're going to say goodnight. We'll see everyone on Wednesday, and God bless.
Good night.